I'd like to minister for a while in this service on how to win in the wilderness. Because every one of us have, are, or will go through something of a wilderness experience. That's not a negative, that's just real life. I'm headed for 2 Timothy chapter 1, but on the way there, let me read from Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Church is getting back to prayer across the country. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. To see thy power and thy glory as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll tell you, these verses have just electrified my spirit for several days now. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Let's begin there. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul admonished them to be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The word of God tells us in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause, this is the key verse that I really want to emphasize. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer or endure, or I'm going through some things. Nevertheless, can you say nevertheless? I'm going through some things, but nevertheless. That's important. Nevertheless, you say that's Elizabethan. To me, it's delivering. Praise God. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And finally, reading verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Of course, if you've served God for any period of time, you have gone through periods, and we're not wallowing in that. We're just simply saying it's a place that seems dry, it seems barren, it's called desert. I think we would all identify with that word quicker than even wilderness. It's a desert place. And on the way to wonderful things of God, we experience some of those times. I think I've experienced more spiritual warfare this last number of months than at any other time in my pastorate. But it's these very truths, and I'm just keying off the words. I mean, you can just, 2 Timothy chapter 1, take this chapter, and especially verse 12, and you're coming out and you're coming through. You're going to win in your wilderness. The first thing that Paul brought out, he said, I'm not ashamed. So number one, there is no shame when your faith is being tested. Paul said, I don't want you to be ashamed of the testimony of Christ And I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I'm in prison. I'm in jail. Paul the Beloved, the great leader, the wonderful man of God that he was. And he said, I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I'm not ashamed. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. And the thing that God brought to my attention is this. When you, with all of your heart, believe that you have obeyed God, and when you, with all of your heart, believe that you have done what is right, there is no shame. I want to say that again. I just said something very significant, something I've learned in the wilderness. And I thank God we've turned a corner and we're on the high side of victory today. So I can say that. But when you've done the best you know how to do, when you've done the best to be godly, to be right, when you've done the right thing and you've done what you believe God called you to do, there is no shame. Because you see, when we're in that situation, we aren't defeated, we're only challenged. We're not defeated, we're only challenged. Praise God. No shame. That's Romans 8:1 material. For there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Many times when you sense that you're under fire or you're in a time of spiritual warfare, Satan will try to put shame on you. Not that you've done something wrong, but you know, there are many ministers that refuse to share the fact that they've been through some things. The reason I can preach some things is because I've been through some things. And the key word is through. I didn't quit. You didn't quit. We did not quit. If you quit, the testimony's over. It's behind you. But thank God, because we've been through a few things, according to Isaiah 43, we come through the water, we come through the fire, we come through the flood. And there have been some outstanding men and women of God, Smith Wigglesworth, to be probably one of the most famous, that after preaching, you know, for so many years on healing, they had some physical tests of their own. Did that mean that he had done something wrong? Did it mean the word of God wasn't working? No, it just meant that the enemy was throwing everything that hell had to try to stop an apostle of Jesus Christ. But you know, we know the truth. No matter what comes down, we keep looking up. I said, no matter what comes down, we keep looking up. There's some people in this room, some ministries in this room that have been very significant in my life, especially over these last few months. Thank you for, you know, I am most comfortable when I'm out helping somebody else or when I'm helping somebody. I love to be there. God has helped our simple presence to make a difference in many different situations. But you know, there comes a time in all of our life when it's not just about helping others, it's letting others help you. I've rediscovered that. No shame, say it out loud. There is no shame. When I've done the right thing, I feel that I've obeyed God, there is no shame. There's another word in that same verse, 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know. Now we have men in this room, one of our men rebuilds cars and, you know, specialties and things of that nature. They would tackle something that I wouldn't touch. You couldn't give me enough money to touch because I wouldn't know what to touch. I look at it and it looks complicated to me. But when you know what you're doing, you can look at something and say, yeah, I know what that is. I know what it's going to take to fix it, and I know how to fix it, And if you'll just get out of my way, I will fix it. I know. And child of God, that's what God's equipping people of Calvary Cathedral International to do. And when the enemy comes in like a flood and people don't know what to do, they don't know what to think, they don't know which way to go, you can say with all heart, word, authority, I know. I know. I don't think I know. That's not arrogant. That's word knowledge. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. You know, you can't handle someone that refuses shame. Someone that says, I know. And there's another one. I mean, this is all in one verse. I mean, I was up half a night just reveling in this for the last few days. I have believed. Believe. Believe. Oh, we've taught it in teachings that have gone around the world. Believe is the hand of faith that gets a hold of the promise of God. I have believed. So where's the result? It's coming. It's on the way. The provision is on the way. I have believed. Paul the Apostle, you remember in the book of Acts, when the ship was going, in the process of going down, and he said, this night there stood by me the angel of God whom I serve. He said, I've had a word from God. And remember what Paul said about that word. You can hear it. You can hear it, you can hear it, but you got to believe it. You can't say, oh yeah, I've heard that. No, get off that. Someone threw you a life jacket. You better get a hold of it. I have believed. Paul said, I believe God. That's it. I believe God. I believe His word. I believe His promise. Hallelujah. I believe God. So we have three things here. No shame. No. Believe. And he said something else here. Persuaded. Persuaded. You see, we're just reinforcing this. Not only have I believed, but I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. Got a made up mind. Someone said there's few things as strong as a woman with a made-up mind. Well, it ought to be every believer with a made-up mind. God said it, I believe it. Oh, you say you're being simplistic. You know, sometimes you can get too complicated with all this. And I'm convinced, you know, we're all seeking that new revelation, you know, that, what's God saying to you? And, you know, you hear five people on stools on television, they all got a different revelation. You know, just give me the foundational basics. Because about the time you think your church knows all of them, you got to start all over again because you got a new crew coming in and the old crew has kind of forgotten some of the things that they got started with. Folks, it's a constant re-education process. I have believed, but I've done more than believed. I'm locked in. I am persuaded. That's it. Persuaded. Persuaded. I'm not being persuaded. I am persuaded. That's when it's going to work. What are you persuaded about? That He is able. Now the Amplified does a beautiful job on this particular verse because the Amplified paints this whole 2 Timothy 1:12 as Jesus. So, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I said, I know Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Praise God. I have believed Jesus. I am persuaded about Jesus. Who said nothing shall be impossible unto you. That he is able, Jesus is able to keep. Boy, if I had a shocking new revelation, there's things I can't keep. There's people I can't keep. There's situations I can't change. I mean, my heart said, we have people in this church right now. I don't see any of them right now. But we have people in this church that God has changed their life miraculously. And now they've gone back to the same virtual mindsets they had when they walked in a few years ago. And God changed their life. Dear God, you've got to cooperate with the changes that God brings in you, or you become gospel hardened. You know, one of the things I'm going to deal with here lately, I never thought anybody would be upset about people coming to Jesus. Anytime an evangelical, born-again, spirit-filled believer is upset about outreach or people coming to Jesus, they need to get born again. Is that what we were called to do? Did he call us to sit on a stool and do nothing and all of us just get fat and sassy and, you know, huh? He is able to keep. He is able to keep. There's things I can't keep. When I say that, I mean there's things I can't do. There are things outside of him, I am very limited. You are very limited. Outside of him, there's so much we can't do. But I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. See, there we go. He is able to keep. Able to keep. It just keeps getting deeper here. Wonderfully so. What is he able to keep? What we commit unto him. What we commit. Do you see how this thing's all, it's separate, but it's all tied together. He can only keep what I commit to him. And am I perfectly committed? You know, kind of like a chiropractor, he'll pop your bones and sometimes they pop right back out, you know. Sometimes we pop out a little bit and we have to go in for some more word treatment. But he can only keep what we commit unto him. Praise God. You know, God wants us to know him. He wants us to know him better than people. God wants us to know God and his son Jesus better than we think we know people or know people. Know him. Because if you know him, you can walk on water. If you know him, you can see the blinded eyes open. If you know him, you'll know your God can supply all you need. That which I have committed against him. And you notice he said in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Folks, there's all kind of words floating. Even in religious communities, all kinds of word, all kinds of doctrine. I've never seen a day quite like today. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to stay with what works. And if God says it, I believe it, that settles it. I don't have to come up with a new revelation. Just be anointed in giving what you know. Amen. Praise God. Then he went further in verse 14. That good thing which, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. By the Holy Ghost. That good thing that was committed unto you, how are we going to keep it? I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the gifts, the giftings, the anointings, the things that God's called you to do. You keep it by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Ladies and gentlemen, you are walking powerhouses. You're the ones that he was talking about in Acts 1:8 when he said, ye shall receive power. Power. Not weakness. Power. Over all the power of the enemy. Dr. E. Stanley Jones, I read a book a number of years ago that he wrote. He took a year's sabbatical. He was a very uncommon Methodist a number of years ago. He was fascinated by the book of Acts. He took a year's sabbatical, read nothing, studied nothing but the book of Acts for 1 year. And he came out of that with a simple analogy. These are people that had become so saturated with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that they just didn't know it couldn't be done. They didn't have a list of arguments. They didn't have a list of comebacks. They were so full of God. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to stay hungry for God. Are you listening to Pastor Nichols? We've got to stay hungry for God. And all Satan has tried to bring to anyone through the wilderness is to try to take you out and take your gifts out, your gift, your joy. Satan's after your joy. No wonder so many people get upset about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's time to get happy. Happy. Satan is out to steal your gift, your gifting, your joy, your goods, your faith, your rewards. The very reason for which you and I were born. There was a reason that every one of us were born. I know there's many reasons, but Satan is after the real reason you were born. You say, how do you know that? I have faced this face to face and hand to hand. I've come to a time in the last few months when I said, God, take me out or anoint me in a new way. I want to finish why I was born. I'm not going to surrender why I was born. Jesus said, for this cause I was born. You weren't born just to do this or to do that or to do this or to do that. You were born for a cause. When you were born, God had a purpose in your birth. And that purpose may never be fulfilled, but I believe it will be after this morning, because I believe you're going to join with me and say, we're going to make a new commitment to fulfill the very cause for which we were born. Oh, that's so awesome. I have faced, again, the impossible. I have faced the improbable. I have faced total helplessness. I have faced things that I thought I had already faced, but it's not over yet. And that one verse has, the essence of it, has brought me through. Has brought me through. No shame. Just because we're under fire, no shame. No condemnation. No shame. No condemnation. You do the best you know how to do. You obey God, put it in God's hands. You know. You believe. You're fully persuaded. You believe that God is able. I've preached this for years. But John the Baptist, none born among women greater than John, faced a time when the man that pointed the finger and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now he's in prison. I can't understand all that John was facing. But he had a day, he had a low day when he sent a messenger out and he said, is this he or do we look for another? Folks, it's time for the church of the living God to get a revelation. It is he. It is Jesus. It is the power of God. There's a reason that you were born. There's a reason that God brought you into this world. There's a reason that your dysfunctional parents had you, of all people on the face of God's earth. It's not how dysfunctional your parents were. It's do you allow yourself to get spiritually dysfunctional? The way to become unfunctional, you know what I'm saying? Get into the Word. I am what God said I am. I will be what God said I will be. I'm going to see why I was born. I'm going to see the purpose of my existence. I'm not going to cop out, burn out, cut out, go out. I'm going straight ahead. Hallelujah! 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 We're going to see it, saints. Hallelujah! I've never faced, in all the 49 years of pastor, never faced impossibilities that I faced. But you know what? I anchored into what I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm back on track. I'm back on track. The only thing that's going to work is faith in God. The only thing that's going to work is what I've committed to Him. I believe God. Why I was born will come to pass. I know part of it's already come to pass. You know, the big's yet to come. God's had all of us on the backside of the desert in training for this end time. We've got answers. The world has questions. We have answers. The world is at the end of itself, financially, educationally. I mean, this world is just coming unraveled. But oh, thank God, it's time for us to shine. It's time for us to preach. It's time for us to teach. It's time for us to stand up. Be the church. Be the leaders. And be the followers that God called us to be. Oh, a desert will take you out. It'll cost you your shout if you lose the joy of the Lord. Purpose in your heart. The wilderness, the desert's not going to take me out. I'm going to remain in the joy of the Lord. Wilderness is a dry and thirsty land, but in the midst of a dry and thirsty land, there's still... You say, you keep talking about that thing, revival. I know. Revival's what's happened before. See, that's where I've got most of you. Because I know where you've been. I know where I've been. Now, if you've never been there, you might say, well, what is revival? It's just a whole new wave of God. I wish, in the believer spirit, in Finney's book, someone pulled it out of the shelf and I read it. But I read again where Finney said, this is back, when was Finney? In the 1800s. He said, this world is so sinful. Things are so messed up that unless we have spiritual revival, every few days, I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm talking about victory. I'm talking about victory. I'm not trying to get you in heaven or hell. I'm talking about folks that are born again, spirit filled. We still need the touch of God. We still need the fire of God. We still need the anointing of God. Amen. You can't out-Baptist a Baptist. They do very well what they do, and I salute them, and I honor them, and God bless them. But you can't out-Pentecostal a true Pentecostal either. Brother, we're unlimited. We're unlimited. No limits. We may not be seeing it right now, but I know it's available, and I know it's on the way, and it could begin tonight. And I believe it's beginning today. I'm hungry for the fullness of God. I'm hungry for the fire of God. Every few days. I'm a believer in grace. Without grace, none of us are going to make it. But you know what? Without what I'm saying, you create your own hell on your way to heaven. Boy, do I have a new revelation on that one. It's not a matter of heaven or hell, but a lot of people are creating their own hell by... Do you follow me? I don't want to live a miserable life and then trumpet God takes me out of all this mess. Hey, I want to go out with a shout. Woo, I want to go out with a shout. Hallelujah. So one more time. For the which cause I suffer, I'm going through some things, Paul said. It's no disgrace. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Don't let Satan put shame on you just because you're going through a test or whatever. For I know, I have believed, I am persuaded, he is able. Able to do what? Keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold on, hold fast the form of sound words. Get your Bible in your hand right now. Just say, I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm holding to God's word. Holding to God's word. Oh, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Those days and nights of revival and the outpouring of God's Spirit, the way God's used some of us overseas and wherever he's used us, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Keep. Not by our power, not by our might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Because you're 10,000, 10 million times stronger on the inside than you are on the outside. Everyone standing to your feet, if you will. You said, what are you trying to do, encourage us? I tried. Listen. I know what it is to go through some hours and days of thinking there's no way through, there's no way out. I never thought I'd have the responsibility I have at this time in my life. Never thought I'd have some of the challenges I have this time in my life. But I didn't ask for it. And I guess God thought I was a big enough boy through his grace to handle it. None of us volunteer for some of the stuff we face. None of us do. But folks, there's a race that I must run. There's souls to be won. On the other side of your stormy sea, miracles are needed. On the other side of, you can't get there from here, there are nations that are waiting for the gospel that is inside of you. The nation needs some churches like Calvary Cathedral International. The Metroplex needs, obviously, because God brought us through. We shouldn't be in business today. God could have shut this whole thing down in 2000. I know that every day the sun comes up. There's a purpose for this church. There's a purpose for me and Joy. There's a purpose for our staff. There's a purpose for the basic things that God's doing through this ministry. And we're not through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, ribabakosia brekasikatai. I'll tell you, some of the sweetest people in my life are in this room today. They're not all here, but there's a goodly number of people that have stood with us and we've stood with you. I couldn't tell you what that means. Couldn't tell you what it means. I wonder how many are just expecting the greater outpouring of God's Spirit. Won't you just come, just especially you delegates, you come forward real quickly if you would. You're hungry for God. You're hungry for God. I'm hungry for God. Hungry for God. Hallelujah. Hungry for God. Hungry for God. Whew. Hungry for God. Hallelujah. Hungry for God. Oh, I'm hungry for God this morning. You know what? That's where you have to get. That's where you have to be. They that hunger and thirst. He's not going to just zap you on the freeway with no. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. There's a reason you're here this week. Take advantage of it. Make the best of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Dave Chisholm, I want you to come up here, brother. Never forget when you and that little, seemed like it was a Dodge Dart, and that U-Haul trailer left to go up to Ohio to your home state to start a church. Graduates of our Bible school did everything you could do in a church. Before, I mean, they were helping, ministry of helps and so on. Don't desire to do it somewhere else if you don't do it where you are. Brother Dave, I want you to join with me. Let's pray a prayer of faith that everyone's going to achieve their destiny. God's used him now in the process in the third, fourth. It's amazing what God's doing up in Ohio and in West Virginia, how that God has used this precious couple.
Father, we're here today for such a time as this. Father, we're here with hungry and thirsty hearts. And we cry out to you, Lord, send the fire of your presence this week. Father, we open ourselves up for divine surgery. Lord, we pray that you would take out anything that needs taken out of us and that you would implant everything that needs implanted. Lord, we cry out to you. We are not satisfied with where we are or what we've done, but we know there are greater works, there are greater things to see, greater things to hear, greater things to understand, and greater things to do in you. Father, today we pray that we would be stretched outside of every comfort zone in our lives. We pray that we would be empowered to go out and to do the works of Jesus in this earth. We pray for a divine visitation of your presence this week. And we will never, ever, 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 ever be the same again. But we will rejoice and we will rejoice again. And we will go and tell of the great things that you have done, the great things that you are doing, and the greater works that you have yet to do in our lives and through our lives. And we cry out to you, Holy Ghost, we welcome your presence here. Do the work of God in us. Holy Ghost, do the work of God in our churches. Do the work of God in our cities. Stretch us out beyond our borders, beyond our own limitations, into that place you've called us to go and into that person you've called us to be. Jesus, the commander and chief, rise up inside of us and lead this army. Lead this army. Lead this army into the harvest where we will spoil the enemy and we will bring in the harvest and we will do all that you've called us to do. We will be all that you've called us to be. We will go forth and do the exploits that we've been charged with. We receive the spirit of faith from our pastor today. We receive that charge to do what cannot be done in the natural, but can only be accomplished as we walk hand in hand with you, empowered by your spirit and led by your presence. Be our cloud by day. Be our fire by night. Split every sea of adversity that is before us, and we will walk on dry land with you, hand in hand, Jesus. We give you glory for what you are doing in us. Amen. 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 And we give you a shout of victory. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Give him a shout. Give him a shout of victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now lift both hands and say, I receive a new outpouring of the joy of the Lord. Let the joy flow. Come on, take a deep breath and let's just... Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy, joy, joy cometh in the morning. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy, 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 joy. Joy, 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 joy. Joy, 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 joy. Hallelujah. Father God, we recognize your presence in this room tonight. 120 gathered in that upper room. The power of God was poured out and the world's never been the same since then. I agree with the prayer our brother just prayed. We've heard it so many times, but oh, I believe it. Literally, if your faith is on the line, you'll never be the same. Never be the same. Oh, hallelujah. Wake us up, shake us up, fill us up, overflow us, oh God, in Jesus' name. This is a very...